Well, if this is your first time joining us, my name's Matt. I'm one of the pastors of the church. And this morning, we are finishing what's been for us a four-week series called We Are City Light. Now, this series has been a little bit different for us. If you've been around City Light for a while, you know that normally on a Sunday morning, what we do is we either work through an entire book of the Bible or we work through a portion of a book of the Bible. And that's what we'll be kicking off again in 2 weeks. We're going to spend 10 weeks in Exodus chapter 20 looking at the Ten Commandments. So you may be wondering, why are we doing something a little bit different over this past month? And the reason is, we as your pastors think it's really important in the life of a church to occasionally sort of take a step back and remember and celebrate again both who we are and how God has called us to live together as a church in the midst of this city that we love so much. And so that's what we've been doing in the We Are City Light series. And really, if you peel away the layers, the mission of City Light Church is very, very simple. Because Jesus has given every church its mission statement at the end of Matthew's gospel. He said to his first followers, his first disciples, I want you to go and make disciples of all nations. So the way we say it around here at City Light is City Light exists to make disciples of Jesus to the glory of God. But the question is, if we're meant to be a people who follow Jesus together, what does a people who follow Jesus together actually look like? That's the question we've been seeking to answer over the past few months. And maybe the most important thing we've been saying week after week is that a community of people that follow Jesus is not first and foremost a doing community, we're a receiving community. We're not first and foremost, as followers of Jesus, a people who do this and do this and do this. No, our entire life flows out of the done of the gospel. Everything that we do and are about flows out of the reality that Jesus has lived, died, and been resurrected for us, and that we're reconciled to God, not because of what we do, but because of what Jesus alone has done. And so what we've said is that we are a people who build our lives on the mercies of God, so that we can devote our lives to the glory of God. That's who we are. We're people who so build our lives on the mercies of God in Jesus Christ that we then devote our lives to the glory of God, to the worship of his name. And so over the past 3 weeks, we've looked at first that we are worshipers. We are those who, in response to all of God's love and mercy in Christ, give not only our lips, but our whole lives to God in worship, with nothing left out. We are worshipers. Then secondly, we've looked at we are community. We're a people who devote our lives to one another because God has devoted his son to us. As he has loved us, so we love one another. And then last week, we looked at the reality that we are a missional people. We're a people that have received a message of reconciliation. We were once separated from God because of our sin, but we've been reconciled to him through faith in Christ, and now we've been given a message of reconciliation to take everywhere. And so we're a missional people, not a people who walk around telling everybody else they're wrong. No, we're a people who have received this incredible message of reconciliation that we extend to others. We're really like one poor beggar trying to tell another poor beggar where to find bread. We're those who are so overwhelmed by the love of God in Christ that we extend it to others. So we are worshipers, we are community, we're a missional people. This morning, we're going to explore the reality, last thing in this series, that we are a multiplying community. We are a multiplying community. Now, to understand what in the world I mean by that, take a look at Acts chapter 13 that was just read. We're going to start in verses 3 and 4. It says, then after fasting and praying, they laid their hands on them and sent them off. So being sent out by the Holy Spirit, they went down to Seleucia. By the way, whenever you're reading these like Greek terms in the Bible, you know, you can just sound like a darn Bible scholar if you just hurry through it, Okay, so it's like a bank turn in NASCAR. Just hit the gas and go. People think you can speak Greek or something. Okay, so he says, in the church there was Simeon, or excuse me, there were Simeon and Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manaen, Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. Verse 3, then after fasting and praying, they laid their hands on them and sent them, Saul and Barnabas, they sent them off. So in being sent out by the Holy Spirit, they went down to Seleucia, and from there they sailed to Cyprus. What is a multiplying community? According to these verses, here's how we're defining it. A multiplying community is willing to forego temporary comfort to send and be sent because God the Father sent God the Son for us. A multiplying community is willing to forego temporary comfort to send and be sent because God the Father sent God the Son for us. You know, on a human level, the spread of the gospel completely depends on this. It depends on us being a multiplying people, a people who send and are sent to spread the reach of the gospel. The reason we know that on a human level, the spread of the gospel depends on us being a multiplying people is, well, just take my hero in the faith, the Apostle Paul. I mean, this guy is so extraordinary. The Apostle Paul was this rare combination that you almost never see. The guy was a brilliant theologian. He wrote about a third of the New Testament. But he also traveled around spreading the gospel everywhere. He was a theologian, he was a missionary, he was a church planter. Dude would come into cities, preach the gospel, and then a riot would ensue. They'd beat him with clubs, and he'd get up and be like, where's the next city? This is great, love this job. I just love this guy. Absolutely love the Apostle Paul. Greatest church planter that has ever lived. You know, of all the churches that the Apostle Paul planted, all the congregations he started, you know how many of them still exist today? None. The greatest church planter who ever existed planted probably dozens of churches, and not one of them continues today. But the gospel continues. Why? Because those churches were not content with being like a lake that would just pool up with the gospel. No, they, as they grew, they were more like a river, sending and being sent so that the gospel could reach outward. So we are a multiplying community. We are a people willing to forego temporary comfort to send and be sent for the sake of the gospel because God sent his Son for us. And the reality is that being a sent people is actually who Jesus' people have been from the very beginning. In fact, I have a little video that I want to show you that just gives an overview of how the message of the gospel has spread throughout the centuries as people have sent and been sent for the sake of the spread of the gospel. So pray that it works. Someone behind me said, dang it, when the communism thing went. That's a little bum that that was a surprise for you. But that's why you're in college. I don't know about you. Like, first of all, sorry for saying that. That was rude. Secondly, when I watch this video, I don't know about you, but I'm like ready to run through a brick wall. I'm like, there's an area that isn't covered with the message of the gospel. The glory of the Lord is not covering the earth as the waters cover the sea. Let's go. What are we even sitting here for? But the reality is, as epic as that video is, we have to sort of ask the question, okay, like tomorrow morning, I am going to wake up and I'm still going to have to brush my teeth. Until I drink my coffee, I'm still going to be half an atheist. And the question is going to become like, how? How do we actually live as a multiplying people who send and are sent for the sake of the gospel? What's that actually look like for us as a community tomorrow? Well, in Acts 13, in this first multiplying church, we see four elements that are constantly at play. Four things going on in this community. One is worship. The second is listening. The third is sending. And the fourth is they're going. So worship, listen, send, go. We'll take them one by one. So the first thing we see in this multiplying community is that they worship before they send. Let's take a look. Acts 13, verses 1 and 2. It says, now there were in the church of Antioch prophets and teachers, Barnabas, Simeon, who is called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manaen, a lifelong friend of Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. While they were worshiping the Lord and fasting. Okay, that's the critical part. While they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. Before they multiply, they worship. Because being a multiplying community is deeply uncomfortable. It's deeply uncomfortable. And only worship can actually fuel it. Being a multiplying community was uncomfortable for the church at Antioch. Let me just give you a little background on this church. In Acts chapter 1, the resurrected Christ told his first disciples, wait here in Jerusalem, the Holy Spirit's going to come upon you, and then you're going to be my witnesses everywhere, both here in Jerusalem, and then Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. In Acts chapter 2, the Holy Spirit comes upon this new community, and the church is born. But the interesting thing is, they don't actually go anywhere. They're supposed to, but they don't. Acts 3, they don't go anywhere. Acts 4, they don't go anywhere. Acts 5, they don't go anywhere. The gospel remains in Jerusalem. But then something devastating happens. A man named Stephen, who is an early church leader, is martyred for his faith, and persecution starts to kick up in Jerusalem. And so some of these earliest followers of Jesus, man, they're out of there. They flee all over the Roman Empire, and one of the metropolitan areas they settle is Antioch. And as followers of Jesus, they just do what followers of Jesus do. They gather together and they worship Jesus and they preach the gospel to one another, and a little church was planted. Now, this is really encouraging for people like us. Like, the church at Antioch was not started by an apostle. It was started by regular Christians like you and me, just doing what Christians do. I say that because in a room this size, I gotta believe that like there's at least one of you out there that the Holy Spirit is like, you need to learn to plant a church. Just know this was done through just normal folk. So the church gets planted. Then in Acts chapter 11, the church realizes, maybe we should actually have a pastor. So the church at Jerusalem sends them this incredible dude named Barnabas. Now, Barnabas is one of those guys who's just a constant encouragement, kind of holds everything together. In my opinion, we have one of those. His name's Pastor Tim. He's the guy that was up on the piano just now. He's our Barnabas, okay? The guy can do any and everything. He holds this church on a human level together. And, you know, like, for example, the guy, like, can code a website, play piano and sing like he does, and generally run the operations of our church. Just incredible. And he's the most even-tempered human being I've ever met. He's generally the exact opposite of me. Just a phenomenal guy. And so he becomes their pastor. And if that's not enough, Barnabas goes and gets his best friend, this guy named Saul that we know as the Apostle Paul, who is this incredible theologian, preacher, missionary, type A driving guy, just incredible. And they together pastor this church at Antioch for a year, just encouraging people. Tons of people are meeting Jesus for the first time. It's incredible. And then they have this little prayer meeting. At first, it's just the leaders of the church, and they're praying, and the Holy Spirit speaks through, I'm assuming, one of the prophets, and says one of the most uncomfortable things I could ever imagine. It says, set apart from me that Barnabas and that Saul that you love so much, and we're going to send them out to start a new church. So imagine for a moment, logistically and emotionally, what that must have felt like for that church. That would have been like in we're just together like this, and the Holy Spirit impresses on one of your hearts, and it comes out like you're supposed to set apart Pastor Tim, holds everything together, and Pastor Mark, our resident theologian, and you're just stuck with Matt and Gordon for forever. You know, no offense, Gordon, but like, you know, it's just be like, are you sure it was the Holy Spirit? You know, it would have been really logistically difficult. How were they able to do it? They worshiped first. You see, worship cultivates love for God in our hearts. And when you're so moved by the gospel of grace that God the Father would send God the Son for you to live the life you should have lived, to die the death you deserve to die, be resurrected from the grave, then it loosens your grip, like my grip that would normally say, no, we could never send. It's like, no, if God would send his Son for us, we too then must send and be sent. We can forego comforts because Jesus is the senior pastor of this church. Everyone else is expendable. They worshiped first. This really hit home for me, this reality of sending and being sent, when we started City Light Center City. When Andrea and I, along with a few of our friends, started City Light just as a little Bible study in our apartment, we did dream that we would plant a church that might plant more churches. But I think in the back of my mind, I hoped it would never happen because of just the pain of saying a gospel goodbye to someone. But I didn't really prepare myself for it. And then in October, we sent out Pastor Mike and about 50 people to start City Light Center City, our second congregation. And man, just like the emotional reality of these people that I had seen every single week and done life with, suddenly now I see them maybe like once a month when I preach down there, and it was just different. And the only way we were able to get over it emotionally was this reality that if God the Son would consider the comfort of heaven, something not to be grasped but to be given up so that he could come for us, how can we be a people who say, no, I'll never go. No, I'll never send. See, worship comes first. Multiplication comes second. Now, what this means for us is that if we're going to be the kind of church that lives as sent people and sends others, it's got to begin with our hearts. It has to begin first with worship. I'm going to get into nuts and bolts and those sorts of things, and don't worry, we're not starting another church this year. You know, like, we just gave birth. We're in the healing stage right now, okay? So don't worry, you know, if mama ain't happy. Actually, not really sure how that fits into the sermon, but what I'm saying is we're not in the season of, like, sending out a third church. I mean, that is our dream one day, is to have maybe, like, five congregations that can help saturate Philadelphia with the gospel. But as you'll see, we're in a season of sending in small ways, and so we'll get into that, but it all begins with worship. As J.D. Greer has said, multiplication almost always begins with heart examination. This intensity to do comes only from being soaked in the message of what God has done. The only motivation that truly lasts to live as a sent people, a multiplying people, is that God has sent his son for us. Now, the second element that we see at play is that this worshiping people listens. So Acts chapter 13, 2 and 3 says, while they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work which I have called them. Then after fasting and praying, I love that because it's like the Holy Spirit speaks and says, set apart Barnabas and Saul, and they're like, maybe it's the food and not the Spirit. So they fast. They fast and they pray and they listen and they know this is from the Lord. So they lay their hands on them. See, a multiplying community has to be a people who listen. We have to listen because sending or being sent, they're equal kingdom priorities. Like, so just give you an example. Say your city group is multiplying, starting a new city group out of it. It is no more spiritual to stay or to go. That's why we have to listen and in community try to discern, is God telling me to send or to be sent? But one of the most important things I think that we can latch onto when it comes to listening is we have to listen to what the Holy Spirit has already said. In Acts 1:8, the Holy Spirit said that we would be a people of witness who send or are sent everywhere. So one of the things that's so important for us to hear is the Holy Spirit has already said, whether you're a sender or sent, it's not going to stay the same. It's not going to stay the same. We have to forego the comfort of our community staying the exact same way for the sake of extending the gospel. And look, I'll be honest with you, if you've got my personality, this is a really challenging reality in this text. Because I'm one of those people, I'm like, no, can we please just keep it the exact way it is? I feel like I'm in this stage both with my son and this church where I'm like, don't grow up. Don't change. Like, I love you exactly the way you are. I love my city group. My city group is nuts. I think I'm the one person that absolutely just loves it. But we have like 20 people and 5 kids that come over to the house every week. And I'm like, this is the greatest thing ever. I just don't want it to change. But here's the reality. The Holy Spirit has said we're a multiplying community, those who send and are sent. So the question is not if we're going to do it, but when and how. The Holy Spirit has already said, don't get too comfortable. It's not going to stay just this way. And that's a good thing. It's a good thing, especially for people like me. I'd rather be in community like with the same group of people for the next 30 years. There's nothing wrong with that desire. It's just something wrong when I make that desire ultimate. See, there remains an eternal Sabbath rest for us to enter into where our relationships will never change. But we're not there right now. Right now is the season of striving, of sending and being sent. And so we have to listen. Am I a sender or one who is meant to be sent? And then, of course, the third thing we see is they actually do send. Acts 13, verse 3 says, then after fasting and praying, they laid their hands on them and sent them off. Sending, being a sending people means that we're willing to say gospel goodbyes for the sake of gospel spreading. We're willing to say gospel goodbyes. Now, one of the things that we have to know about sending is that it always starts small. And this is where I want to focus a little bit because, like I said, we just gave birth. We're not about to have another kid right this minute. So when we're talking about sending, it starts small. It actually started small in the church at Antioch. In Acts 11, Barnabas was the only leader there. In Acts 13, you read there's a list of leaders. He multiplied leaders before the Spirit said, hey, just let's go start a whole new church. It always starts small. So what I want to do is give you just a few like rapid fire ideas for how we can live like sent people right now, like starting small. Okay, so this is that part of the sermon where it's like, what do I do with this tomorrow? Here's a few ideas. You guys ready for this? Okay. To be a people who live like we're sent and senders. Here's a first one. Be sent in your daily life. You don't have to actually go anywhere else to be a sent person. Jesus in John 20, 21 says, as the Father has sent me, so I send you. So wherever you are, in your workplace, in your neighborhood with your neighbors, even that neighbor, at your school, on your campus, with your hobbies, where you eat, live like a sent person. God sent his Son to reconcile us to himself. We are now sent with a message of reconciliation. And so live like a sent person. You know, one real practical way you can do this is as you make relationships, inviting people to worship with us, to see what it's like to celebrate Jesus together. Even if they, like, I have no interest in Jesus yet, no problem. So live like a sent person wherever you are. You don't have to go anywhere to be sent right where you are. Extending the message of reconciliation. Like, God has sent me. I have a 60-year-old curmudgeon neighbor who has lived his entire life in Philadelphia and hates everyone like us. You know, it's like, if you've moved to Philly in the last decade, you are his enemy. God has sent me to him. Now, thankfully, we had a child and that softened him up a bit. He's like, oh, maybe they'll stay for a day or two. I'm sent right there. I don't need to go anywhere to be sent. So then all he and I do now is just talk about the Eagles. It's the one thing that doesn't make him mad. It's like, okay, let's talk about that. Talk about the neighborhood? No, he's going to go bananas. Where are you sent right now? Second thing, consider multiplying your discipleship group. So some of you are here, you're part of a discipleship group, about three folks, same gender, where you connect together, read scripture, and then pray for one another. But consider multiplying that. Say, maybe bring a fourth person in so they get the rhythm a little bit, and then send two out so that a third person can be added to that, and then add someone to yours so that more people get to be in this sort of gospel-churning community. Another way you can live like a sent person would be join a city group. City groups are the primary way that our church gathers in community where the gospel is the number one prize and not our comforts. You know, one of the reasons we do our city groups relatively geographically based is because we don't really, we want the community to be people that you're friends with, but we don't want shared affinity to be the number one prized value in the community. We want it to be the gospel where people who are totally different from one another can actually do life together because you have the gospel in common, even if you don't have a whole lot else. So join a city group. Maybe you're in a city group that's ready to multiply and become two. To be a great way to be a sent person is like be willing to be the person who goes. Say, you know what, maybe I won't stay with like that core nucleus. Maybe I'll go and help start a new one. Or maybe you're the person who always goes and it's, I need to maybe consider the possibility I'm meant to stay. And you know what, be those flexible people who are willing to say, okay, the city group's not gonna be the exact same. But for the sake of having more community where the gospel is prized, I'm willing to send or be sent. Another great thing would be develop to be a city group leader. I'm not saying like, I want you to hear this, like you can do this. You might be sitting here going, eh, I'm not sure about me. We're not gonna like send you into the deep end of the pool tomorrow. We'd love to help you grow so that you could lead one of these groups, but it starts just tell your city group leader, write down a connect card, I'd like to do that. We'll help you out. Another just small way that you can be a sent person is to serve on one of our Sunday teams. Now, I'm gonna tell you why. If things continue to go the way that they've been going, in 2017, we're going to need to add a third one of these. And I'm really happy about that. I'm really happy about that because you want to know why this worship service exists? One of the primary reasons is because it is a weekly reminder that our lives are not a celebration of us. They're a weekly recalibration where we're reminded, as Paul Tripp has said, that we have been born again into a life that is a celebration of another. So as we celebrate Jesus here with our lips, we then are sent to do so with our lives, and we want to make more space for as many people as possible to experience that reality. But if we're going to do that, more of us need to serve. And whenever I say that, I feel like I have to like step back, because honestly, like this, you guys are the most extraordinary church. On average, on a Sunday morning, like 80% of you who are part of this community serve. So first of all, if you're part of the 80%, I'm not saying please join like a fourth serving team. Like, I know you would because you're that incredible, but don't. Just hear me saying thank you. And if you're in the other 20%, consider joining them so that not just so that we can just keep going on activity, but so that we can expand the reach of the gospel. If in 2017 we start a third service, great way you could be a sent person is like attend that time that is really not the most convenient one. You know, that middle one's where everyone wants to go. You know, so you maybe go around that. Just ideas of how you can be a sent person, foregoing comfort for the sake of the spread of the gospel. And my last encouragement, really practically, would be to give sacrificially. I know, like five of you are like, I knew it. Money always comes up. Of course money comes up. Jesus has told us where our money is where our heart is. And if there's anything we learn from starting City Light Center City, it's that being a multiplying community is expensive. And by God's grace, we've been in the position over the last 5 years where we actually give away 17% of everything that comes in financially. We give it away to help start other churches here in the United States and around the world, and also bring relief into the darkest pockets of our city. And so when you give sacrificially, what that allows, when we do that together, what that allows is the reach of the gospel to be expanded. It's part of being a sent people. You know, it's not so I can buy another one of these trusty shirts from the Gap, please understand. By the way, the clearance rack, if you're a tiny person like me, it's the place to go. How might the Spirit be encouraging you to take a baby step in being a sent person? Now, finally, this is a community so overwhelmed by the gospel, the good news that God sent his son for us, that they worship him, and in response, they are open, they listen, and then they send. And so we want to be a people who, in light of the gospel, not because I gave you a rah-rah speech or because you feel guilty, by the way, that'll get you like 6 hours of activity. Guilt wears off like that. The gospel empowers us for a lifetime. The gospel of grace, that God would send his son, that Jesus would be sent, is the only motivation for us to live like sent people each and every day, wherever we are. And then the last thing we see is that they go. They go. Acts 13, verse 4 says, so being sent out by the Holy Spirit, they went down to Seleucia, and there they sailed to Cyprus. I just think it's interesting to see that where did they go? They went to a major metropolitan area called Cyprus. They didn't go to Lancaster, so stay here. Okay, got to pull that into every sermon. And they went and they started new churches. But when it comes to being a people who actually go, I actually want to just take a moment, and if you'll allow me, I want to just speak to maybe just a couple of you. But I don't know who you are, so this could be for you. I'm not sure. You know, we talk about at City Light all the time that we're all in full-time ministry. All of us are in full-time ministry. We just get our paychecks from different places. And if you're a student, you're in full-time ministry and they get their paycheck from you. But the reality is we're all in full-time ministry. We just get our paychecks from different places. We're all meant to be a sent people wherever we are. There's no big, like, clergy-laity distinction. We're Protestants. We believe in the priesthood of all believers. And yet, at the same time, the multiplication of the church has, throughout the history of the church, included some, like Saul and Barnabas, being set apart for a special full-time work of ministry. And one of the most life-changing things I've ever experienced is when I was 16 years old and I'd become a Christian about 2 days beforehand. I went to a service kind of like this, and a pastor kind of like me explained a bit of what I've just said. And he said, if there are any of you here feeling like maybe the Holy Spirit is subtly tugging on you to actually give yourself full time to the spread of the gospel, maybe as a church planner, maybe as a pastor, maybe as a missionary, cross-cultural work in spreading the gospel, he basically said, come up front, I'm not going to do that to you. But in a room this size, I have to believe that at least for one of you, the Holy Spirit is beginning to draw your heart to full-time gospel ministry. Remember, we're all in full-time ministry. We just get our paychecks from different places. But some of us are set apart for special work, like Saul and Barnabas, men and women who carry the gospel forward full-time. If that's you, I would love for you to just write down on your Connect card that might be you. And I'll follow up with you. I'm not going to hire you tomorrow. I'm not going to ship you off to Africa tomorrow. It's not as though I have this kind of power. But I'd love to talk to you about it. You know, I understand that we're living in Philadelphia and many of us are live in the upwardly mobile world, and being a pastor is the lowest rung of society. Now, let me tell you, it was not always this way. 100 years ago, it was doctor, lawyer, pastor. This was a respectable deal. Not as much anymore. But it's no less necessary. Are you listening? So in short, let's be a people who are so moved by our sending God and his grace that we're willing to send or be sent in all the tiny little ways that we mentioned. And if there's a tiny little way that's specific, feel free to put that on your Connect card and drop it in the orange box in the back.